Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Here we go.
Here we go.
Very quickly becoming an established format, this one. We're really enjoying our Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We have a guest on. We go through the listeners' beefs, and they help us fix them. We're kind of like agony aunts or uncles for the flat share generation.
Absolutely right, despite none of us living in a flat share. So this is a fantastic episode this week because we got to chat to the brilliant Jack Barry. You may know him as one half of Twins, the sketch team. You may know him as a stand-up. You may have seen him in Feel Good on Netflix, the brilliant Mae Martin series. He's just fantastic. He's a really funny guy. We loved hanging out with him. He's a multilinguist. And if you enjoy Jack's work, then we've done a bonus beef with him, a whole bonus beef, which is over on our Patreon, patreon.com.
We've got a Patreon.
We've got a Patreon, Tom. You should join, man. You'd be right at home at our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Get involved today, man.
Okay. And what would I have to do there for, like, give £4 a month or something like that?
I'd say £4 a month should do it, and you get tons of bonus audio. You get get a weekly bonus episode. You get all our old bonus episodes, which I think there's nearly 200 of them now. It's it's great fun. There's a real community. We read out people's emails. We find out what people are up to. It's great. It's lovely.
You know I love emails. This sounds brilliant.
Just music to your ears, isn't it? Yes. Music to your tired old ears. Well, let's not waste any more time. Let's get straight into the episode. Actually, we waste a tiny bit more time because we've got some Flatshare Slamdowns to promote. Live Flatshare Slamdowns.
They're actually live.
They're quite soon
as well.
So if you're listening to this before the 4th and 5th of April, it's worth mentioning that we've got two live Flatshare Slamdowns we would love you to be at. Two fantastic shows at the Phoenix.
Our spiritual
home. Cavendish Square.
And also provide some really good food and beer.
Our actual home.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Our actual home.
Yeah. We live there as well. Yeah, it does do. You know what? You know, we rarely sell Flatshare Slamdown on how good the food is at that place, but it is very good.
We normally lean on the names of our guests, but we very rarely say, do you know what? Try the burgers. They're fantastic. They do weird things like tobacco onions, and they have lots of sides that, even if they sound a bit healthy, they arrive, they ain't healthy, but they're very tasty. So, yeah, sure, we've got guests. Yes, we've got names we can dangle in front of your noses, but listen, if you haven't had some really good pub grub in a good while...
Dangled in front of your nose.
If you haven't smelt the burgers, you're not allowed to smell the guests.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying.
And also, I'll tell you what, they're vegan burgers, they're veggie burgers. It caters for a lot of people. It's a good menu.
It's a great menu.
And speaking of great menus... We could give you some of our guests' names as well.
Yeah, let's do it. So on the... I mean, it's a good point. Can we just say as well, we're doing this out of the goodness of our own hearts. We love the Phoenix, but we don't get a cut of the sales behind the bar or of the food sales. So we're just doing it because we just believe in the product, right?
Totally.
That's what it is. We believe in the product. We also believe in the product of our actual shows, the Flatshare Slamdowns. The Monday, the 4th of April, our guests are going to be Alfie Brown, the brilliant Alfie Brown, and the superb Sakisa. So you should definitely come along.
Do you know what that lineup reminds me of? A delicious batch of hot and spicy chicken wings.
I think so, yeah. That's exactly what it's like.
Also available at the bar.
You know what? Go for the double. Go bang bang on it. Pair our show with some lovely hot and spicy chicken wings. Parry, I'm going to give you the guests for Tuesday, and you tell me what food you would pair with them. We've got on Tuesday, the 5th of April, at the Phoenix, Cavendish Square at 7:45. We've got Amy Gledhill and Darren Harriott.
Great. Well, I mean, it's got to be some kind of hot dog effort for...
It's got to be a hot dog, of course it has. A delightful sausage.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be.
And, you know, for Darren Harriott, I'd recommend a double-decker burger, you know, for the humour and the wit. That's one of your burgers.
Yes.
But also the charm and the looks. That's your second burger.
Wow.
He's a double-decker. You know what I'm talking about?
He really is.
Yeah.
You could have gone quadruple burger there, couldn't you? Because it's humour and wit, charm and good looks.
And tasty buns.
He stacks those gorgeous buns. Let's not forget his sesame seed buns. But anyway, the 4th and 5th of April, Flatshare Slam Down. If you've not been to a live recording before and you live near or you can get to London, then come on down because you'll absolutely love it. If you've been before, you know what we're talking about. You'll want to come again.
And not to mention a fine selection of ales and lagers as well.
really good on tap selection.
The food's good. The booze is good. The entertainment is good. You would be mad to miss out. 4th and 5th of April. See you there. Tickets will be available from eventbrite.co.uk. They're available now, in fact, and you can find the link for those tickets in the show notes of this very show that you're listening to right now.
Right, let's crack on with the episode, shall we?
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So, Jack Barry is here. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hi.
JB.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me in your flat.
It's a total pleasure, yeah. Well, thanks for keeping up with the artifice of the podcast that we all...
Do you know what? Yeah, not enough guests do that. Yeah. Not enough guests. Come on. Take the premise by the hand and give it a firm shake. Yeah. You know? You've really done that.
It's a beautiful place. I love what you've done with it. I love the all the satanic art that you've got in the living room. Yeah,
I apologize.
Have you've been on the panel show version of this, haven't you?
I don't think I have.
No. This is the first time. First time Jack's been on the podcast. But
I'm a virgin. I'm
that's how charismatic hell. He is. It seems like he's done it before. He's been here for about 10 seconds. Thought, were we thinking?
I've been here.
Like part of the furniture.
I've been there in spirit.
It's like part of the satanic furniture.
Yeah. Also, Jack, get off that swing. That's not for us.
Yeah, I've been there in spirit many times, but never in
that's
body.
Think, yeah.
Yeah. My body's never been invited. But yeah, glorious to be here now. I'm happy to be busting my cherry.
Oh, what an expression. But yeah, let's
get out of that swing, please. For the love of God.
So before we started recording, you were telling us that You've managed to have quite a productive lockdown and that you learned another language. The language of love.
I thought the language of love, aka Spanish. Yeah. I don't know if that's usually what they call the language of love.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. I thought it's about time. I've been very lucky to be in a relationship with an Argentinian woman for 7 years now and just didn't seem important to learn a single word of Spanish in all that time.
And did none of it rub off?
Yeah, a bit, but it was mostly what I like to call bedroom Spanish.
Oh,
it was all like, okay. You know.
Get in the swing.
Get in the swing. Lots of, you know, hail Satan, the useful things that you use in the bedroom. And yeah, and then like when the lockdown hit, it was like, okay, there's really no excuse now. I've got nothing but time. So I did some Skype lessons. I got some teachers in Argentina so I could learn like Argentinian Spanish, and I've been learning that for the last 2 years. Yeah.
Amazing.
How different to Spanish is Argentinian Spanish?
It's pretty different.
Muy?
Yeah, muy. Muy, muy diferente. It's okay. It's like instead of like a y sound, they say sh. So like, you know, like yo is me or I in Spanish. It's sho in Argentina. And so like pollo is chicken, but pocho, it's pocho in...
Well, it's a better class of chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's an upper class chicken. And like all the words are different. It's just like...
Well, that'll,
you know,
be,
how,
that'll
like,
be the key difference then, won't it? If all the words are different.
That'll be the key difference. The words are different.
It's a different language.
Yeah, different language. It's like, you know, like in America, you know, like we have like In England, we say the car boot, but in America, they say the trunk. Yeah. But we still sort of, it's like that, but more so. And it's like, you know, it's like the word for banana is different, and like loads of it is different. So I've gone to Spain, and no one knows what I'm talking about. But in Argentina, I can get by just fine.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's good. I've just got back from Argentina, which is why we were talking about it.
Which is why you were going to do the podcast last month. You weren't able to, but now you're back and you're here.
I'm back.
Can
yeah.
you, for any Argentinian Spanish listeners we have, I'm sure we've got a few, can you give us a little bit of Argentinian Spanish bedroom talk? You don't have to tell us what it means. Just give us a little phrase and we'll let our listeners enjoy it.
Oh, God. Well, I tend to say stuff like, oh, sos muy hermosa, mi amor. And that's real bedroom Spanish.
That's good yeah. stuff, that is.
Yeah, I can...
You could be asking where the swimming pool is, but it still works yeah. for me. That does.
It gets some hot.
Donde es?
A la derecha, yeah. a la derecha, a la izquierda.
That's what everyone knows, isn't it? Every person you say, do you speak Spanish? Like, the first Spanish phrase every English person learns is dos cervezas, por favor, isn't it?
Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's what you need.
Which is upsetting for Ben, because we've only ever been to Spain together. He should have learnt tres, but always one of us gets left out when he's getting the round.
Yeah, so let's be honest. When I get the round in England, I come back to two.
Me and Crosby, you have to go out with a straw, and we just sit there and share one next to Clarkie.
Mind sweeping each other's drinks.
But anyway, now I can speak Spanish, which is pleasant. I actually have a relationship with some of my in-laws now, which is what I was telling you before the podcast.
Was the case that you went over, you chatted to your in-laws, you went over to Argentina, you chatted to your in-laws, and you found out you don't actually have that much in common with them. So it was better when you had the
not
mystery.
Yet. I feel like, not yet. I feel like if I'd spent more time there, maybe that would happen.
That's good.
But we had enough.
I say car boot, you
yeah,
say
exactly.
Trunk. Let's call the whole thing.
What does it mean? My relationship with my father-in-law used to just be we'd sort of give each other like sage nods. We'd have a beer and we'd just sort of like smile yeah. across the room like, yeah, I like your vibe. And this time I could actually have a conversation with him and he's a lovely guy. So that was that was a relief. Yeah, yeah.
That could have broken.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Used to nod at all my racist comments.
Yeah, what's happening now? Now when I quote Mein Kampf to you, you're like weird about it. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
All right. Well, should we whip crack into these beefs?
Normally I talk about your flat share arrangement, but we'll find that out as we get into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can give you that.
Switches beef from Russ via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Switches beef. Hello, the esteemed brethren of PAP. My wife is obsessed with switches. Every evening she'll go from top to bottom of the house, not only switching off every plug, but also unplugging them from the wall. I am firmly in this guy's world. This is in case they spontaneously combust, despite there being no electricity going through them. What's the point in having a voice-activated speaker if you've got to switch it on and wait for it to connect before you can talk to it?
Ooh.
The fish nearly died when the filter was unplugged and I hadn't noticed.
Oh, no.
But the deal breaker happened a few days ago when my wife unplugged the fan that was drying my homemade beef biltong in our cellar.
Oh, this is a true beef.
I'd gone to bed earlier as I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. for work. In the biltong farm downstairs. I've gone to bed early, so I have to get up for work at 4:30 in the morning. My wife had done her top to bottom unplugging regime and it was over 18 hours before I checked on my meat.
Oh no.
No fan running, no air circulation. Instead of 2 kilograms of beautifully drying, rich, meaty, spicy beef wedges, I find damp, beefy strips that are growing fuzzy little mould hairdos.
Oh, no.
The meat costs £20, but the final product is worth £40 a kilogram. £80 worth of prime South African bovine-based snacks straight in the bin.
Oh, mate.
My wife wasn't even all that sorry. Sorry, not sorry, you know? She's like, this guy's got away with words.
I like this guy. Is this Russ?
Yeah, he's poetic.
I've got a lot of time for Russ.
She says she's protecting the house from potential fires. Understandable. But 2 kilograms of meat and a couple of days of marinating, spicing and hanging wasted. Who's in the right here? Fire safety versus delicious high-end bully bum meat strips. How can I stop this vendetta against plugs being in walls? Help. Love you guys. Front name only, Russ, brackets, new Patreon member, and loving every minute.
Well, the feeling is more than mutual, Russ. We're loving every minute of that. What a fantastic message from Russ there. Well,
that, and that's impressive because those Patreon episodes, loving every minute of them.
I mean, that's miraculous.
There are a few dodgy minutes in there, let me tell you.
It's hard work.
Join the Patreon, but seriously.
There's a few green furry minutes in those.
Wow. Okay. So a literal beef, which is always really nice to get. Mm. Fans of Biltong in the house? Anyone?
I like Biltong.
Yeah. Turns out, actually,
it's a strange one. It is essentially kind of beef chewing gum, isn't it?
Yeah.
But isn't that
the thing?
Isn't that the appeal?
I think part of Biltong's appeal is the fact that it's called Biltong. It's got that kind of
good branding.
It's got that kind of foreign kind of this is exciting kind of thing. If it was just called beef strips or chewy beef, it'd be really hard to get people to buy into it, I think. But it's got that kind of chewy beef African kind of excitement going on.
I can't believe how quickly he shrugged off the fish, nearly. The fish was really a side note in that whole story, wasn't it? Yeah. And then it was an essay about the Biltong.
Well, he paints a real picture of his life, doesn't he? Sorry, Tom.
It feels like he's advertising his Biltong a little bit because the words play with his, you know, if he's going to sell Biltong as high-end bully bum meat strips, then I think, you know, he might get a thriving business going.
That's it. You see, I wasn't keen on Biltong until I heard that sentence. And
beautifully drying, rich, meaty, spiced beef wedges. I feel like he would maybe start supply. If we started selling Pappy's Biltong and Russ is our kind of wholesaler supplier, we cut him in a little bit.
He's tricked you into into sponsoring his Biltong brand, hasn't he?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't read. P.S. Hashtag ad. It says.
Today's episode is brought to you by the good people at Russ's Biltong. Guaranteed no fuzzy little mold hairdos on any of our Biltong, or your money back. All 80 quid of it.
And if a
wet lumps.
And if a couple tastes like fish, ignore that. Don't worry about that.
So hang on. And also, like, look at that, right? That markup's pretty impressive. The meat costs 20 quid. The final product is worth 40 quid.
40
quid. He's doubling his money there. I mean, obviously,
40 quid a kilo. He's quadrupling his money, isn't he?
Oh.
Because the meat costs 20 quid, but at the end, it costs 80 quid, he said, didn't he? He said it's 40 quid a kilo, 2 kilos.
Yeah.
That's a huge markup. We should be
hello.
We should get out the podcasting racket. Let's get some. Yeah.
What I didn't mention was that the herbs cost £60.
You've got to factor in the marinade and the electricity for drying. Okay, that obviously is causing this issue.
But he's saving money on that. That's saved.
But I mean, come on. I mean, it's a bit like that with Bitcoin, isn't it, Clarky? When you're mining your Bitcoin, that eats up your electricity.
That's the end of Clarky's money corner there.
All the lights flicker out in Clarky's.
It's great to have Martin Lewis on the programme again.
Old crypto Clarky's keeping his cards close to his chest.
He's not telling us anything about his NFTs.
He's not giving anything away.
I've got some Biltong NFTs coming out.
His Clarky coin doesn't going through the roof.
Clarky coin. Doesn't mining Bitcoin use more energy than Denmark? I read.
Yeah, it's bad. I know it's pretty bad, I think. Yeah. So, like that, if we factor that in, but he's still making lots of money. There's money in Biltong. Who knew? Apart from, let's sort this beef out. Where do you guys stand on switching plugs off at night?
I don't know if it's at all necessary. I think, but I don't know much about
the,
it.
The kind of first...
classic. Here's my opinion, but to qualify this, my opinion is worthless.
The first and last I heard of it was when we were at primary school. We were shown by a fire safety, you know, occasionally like fire safety people come into the school and do a little talk. They showed us an extremely, for a primary school, suggestive advert of a couple going around the house in their pajamas, talking about their nighttime routine. What's your nighttime routine? And they're like winking at the camera as they sort of go off into the bedroom, but their nighttime routine was, you know, unplugging the telly and all that kind of stuff, and making sure that all the lights were switched off. And it made it seem like if you left your telly on standby overnight, it would either use so much electricity that you were bankrupted the next morning, or it would explode and blow up the entire house. And I don't know if either of those things have ever happened to anyone.
I don't know.
I think the thing is, old TVs, when they were on standby, because they TVs used to have...
Clarky's got no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Go on.
But as I understand it, old TVs, to keep on standby...
they use more energy than Denmark, don't they?
They would.
Yeah.
They would draw in a lot of power, because to boot them up would take a long time from off to going on. So standby was kind of...
the crank in the side, so turning it a few times.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like they used to like crackle, didn't they? Those old like...
Yeah.
The big fat back TVs, you could like hear them.
I don't know if that's a bad thing though, is it?
Fat back TV with my Biltong. Both sound delicious. But yeah, I don't think that's true.
I don't know.
TV,
I just remember my dad's old office, someone put the dishwasher on. The cleaner put the dishwasher on when they went home at night and it caught fire. And they did actually have like a fire in the kitchen at my dad's office. And my parents were always like, you must never put the dishwasher on before you go to bed.
Oh no.
But that was like it. A dishwasher, I always was like, it's full of water. Like, surely that's like the safest thing that you could possibly put on. Yeah, right? Just leave it to it. It's washing. It's going to put itself out. But after that, I've always been like really paranoid. Luckily, I don't have a dishwasher. Otherwise, I'd feel it's like I was living with a killer.
It feels a bit like your sprinkler system, like, catching fire.
Yeah, right? Oh, the water cooler's on fire. Like, the fire extinguisher's ablaze, and we all had to run out. but that was on, do you know what I mean? But if everything's turned off, I feel like, how can it just spontaneously catch fire?
Well, I guess the bit of the dishwasher that's going to catch fire is the back rather than the inside, isn't it? It's the back that's going to catch fire, and unless it...
It's not like the plates just suddenly burst into flames.
Yeah.
It depends how tightly you stack them in, because that friction, when they rub against each other, can really cause some trouble.
It's like when you're doing, if you're cutting something with a knife and fork, it's like when you're doing something with wood and it just like catches...
Exactly, it's not the spark.
You've never had that happen
to you? Like a bit of flint,
Hang on, was the cleaner eating in the dishwasher?
Yeah.
The cleaner's in the dishwasher.
If you're... just lock themselves in, just had a little wash and an eat.
If you're cutting up a particularly tough piece of building,
Oh boy,
You can catch
sparks will fly.
So my wife and I have this chat an awful lot, and she's all for unplugging at night, and I've always been like, look, it doesn't really make a difference. And then she went on a fire course at her work, and she's absolutely right.
Oh, is it? Right.
I really want to hear that, because what a ball ache.
Yeah.
No.
What a ball ache. Lamps. I come into a room and I go to touch the lamp to put it on, and I have to, in the dark, go and plug it in.
Yeah.
So I can turn the lamp on.
Well, so even if it's just in, what, the plug being in the socket can make it catch fire?
The safest thing to do is to turn the socket off and remove the plug to be completely safe.
Oh, I hate
But isn't
this.
That like one of those things? It's like, yeah, the safest contraception is never have sex. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, maybe we should just all get rid of our lamps to be really safe.
If we lived in like a mud hut with no electricity, the chance of that catching fire, pretty slim.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how
so
you
it
do
is
with
the
your,
same as sex. Because
that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Got that old knife and fork trying to cut the belt off.
That thatch roof is going up like Billy, eh?
So look, There's a couple of things I'd say to Russ, which is your wife is definitely being safer. And also, I'm worried about the planet. I'm worried about the price the planet is paying for this biltong, right?
Right.
Because it's not. This is not viable anymore, is it? Come on. Like, if we're going to get to net zero or whatever it is, we're going to have to sacrifice Russ's biltong, aren't we?
I don't know, though, because it is preparing food.
Yeah, he's eating.
It's like, are we going to stop using ovens?
Yeah, but there's a quicker way to prepare beef than biltong in it, isn't there?
Overnighting it. What does he say, 18 hours or something? 18
well,
hours.
He left it for 18 hours. So it was 18 plus hours to get this biltong dried out.
Is there room for biltong in our kind of, you know,
in our new society?
What about fish? What about living fish?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't say what he was planning to do with that fish. We don't know. He might have been planning to air dry them.
Yeah, stick them in front of the fan.
We know that Russ. We know his MO, and it is to air dry food.
Yeah, he's a fanner.
Maybe he was fattening that fish up so he could, you know, fan them out and then chow down on them.
I don't know where Russ is writing from. But is the idea that actually, like, proper biltong would be literally air-dried in the air, which is free and doesn't cost any energy, right?
Exactly.
In a hot country. Is he
Outside, in South Africa. Yeah.
It's Southern Africa,
In South Africa, exactly, yeah. So is he trying to basically...
You'd cut up your cow, you'd stick it on the roof, yeah. You'd let nature take its course, and then you'd be
biltong for the rest of the year. Exactly, yeah. Is he basically trying to sort of cheat his surroundings? Is that what it is? He's playing God. Exactly. It's a bit like cranking your heating up to full and saying, well, actually, now I live in Florida. You know,
it feels like we're painting this kind of Breaking Bad type picture of Russ. Like, he's playing God in this like illegal biltong farm he's got for himself under the cellar. It's driving a wedge between him and his wife.
These 4:30 starts are getting to him. He's losing it in the mind.
No, he's got a crawl space under the house where he hides the £80 that he's made.
There's a John Wayne Gacy type crawl space under his house. Exactly, yeah. It's full of dried meat.
Like Silence of the Lambs, occasionally he'll wear the biltong and kind of parade around.
He's got a well that's covered in biltong.
He's got a biltong suit. Buffalo biltong. Yeah, there you go.
We got that.
Would you fan me? I'd fan me.
So maybe his wife is not only taking it's not an exciting option, but it's a safe option, and maybe it'll save Russ from a life of crime and, you know, ultimately ending up as a serial killer.
Yeah. It's the only way that this can end.
Well, this is breaking very bad.
Can I just sort of paint the other picture of Russ here and maybe sort of come to his defence slightly, because we've done a wonderful character assassination of the man who, let's not forget, has just said he's joined the Patreon and loving every minute. So let's not.
Yeah.
It's the classic puppies way.
No, don't get me wrong. There's a place for renegades on the Patreon. Just not in society.
Is the actual situation here that what you need is not to, not to stop murdering. We're not saying you've murdered, but that's not it. But it's to maybe a little bit more communication between you and your partner, right? Because, saying that some plugs are more important than others, surely that's the compromise. You can turn off the telly, you can turn off the radio, you know, you can unplug the 3-bar heater or whatever, all of that kind of stuff, but there are certain plugs you need to leave on. The fish, they've got to stay on overnight, right? That's got to happen, right? You know,
biltong plugs matter.
Exactly. Because there's nothing, by the way, more exciting when it comes to the world of owning your own plugs then sticking a little bit of electrical tape over the switch on which you've written in Sharpie, do not turn off. You know what? It's a very exciting thing to be able to do that. You know, there's always one in every garage. We don't know what it does, but we know that if we turn it off, chaos is around the corner. So all it means is he just get two little bits of electrical tape, right, do not turn off, stick them over the one by the fish, stick them over the one by the biltong, and, you know, and then just say to your partner, look, these plugs are important, but I will go round with you and turn off all the other plugs. That can be our nighttime routine. I think that's it. Parry.
I think what they need banging to do is, like Coldplay are now touring with a kinetic dance floor, so the concert is powered by the audience dancing. So when the audience jump up and down on the floor, it powers the gig.
So when they play their slow ones,
I'm going to be honest, I think this is the wrong thing to be doing.
When they're
that
playing the scientist and everyone's just sort of gently swaying and the song gets slower and slower because the instruments,
all the lights go down.
Right. So
gives you mood lighting.
What you need to do is get a kinetic floor on your bedroom, and then when you're making love, you'll power the cellar,
banging for biltong,
drying your beef, so you can buy a bit of electrical tape. You can stick it on yourself and say, do turn on.
It's great.
And then you save your
this
marriage.
Is some extra you, spicy
you bring
biltong.
Some romance to proceedings. You save your marriage. You improve your communication, but also you power the cellar, if you know what I mean, in more ways than one.
Too right.
You power your cellar. You power her cellar. Biltong all round.
And then the biltong, you can sell.
Stick a bit of Coldplay on. Get it going.
You know what? I think that's beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I have over-touchy beef from Craig via the Beef Brothers podcast at gmail.com. My best friend Brett is, at any normal time, a very touchy person. However, when he drinks, it becomes more regular. I'm not a very tactile person and would prefer not to spend my night being rubbed by my friend. In particular, when he's drunk, he likes to rub my earlobes. Ooh. I love my friend, but I need to tell him to stop it without offending him. He is a very sensitive person. Just to clarify, he's a fantastic person, but this needs to stop. Cheers, everyone. Bye. From Craig.
I've got a solution for this. Kinetic earlobes.
And it powers a cattle prod.
It powers a sign.
Yeah. It says stop doing that.
Powers a taser with which he can tase his friend.
Rubbing the earlobes is a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, I'm a tactile guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a tactile drunk.
No doubt.
But rubbing the earlobes feels that's intimate.
Yeah. Do you think the earlobes? When I used to live in China, there were like Chinese temples where they have like big statues of Buddha, and he's got big earlobes, and sometimes it's lucky to rub Buddha's earlobes. Do you think that's why he's
Has Brett found that he's become luckier ever since he's started rubbing Craig's earlobes when he gets drunk?
I was at a music festival once, and I was having a final. I was absolutely flying, and it was me and my partner, and I was topless, and there was a group of much younger people. There was like a gang of students nearby who found me topless really quite funny and decided to all start rubbing my belly for luck. And this went on for a couple of hours, me high as a kite dancing away and all these students rubbing my belly for luck, and honestly one of the best nights of my life.
And their life, I hope.
So is your suggestion to Craig
they all went and found some gold?
Know how lucky they were, actually, but I like to think it worked.
They all went and had sex with each other.
So are you saying to Craig, Tom, that he should take MDMA? He'd actually be delighted to have his earlobes rubbed.
When he goes out with his mate, every time he has a drink,
microdose.
Give yourself a little bit of a little dab or two of MDMA, and then maybe you'll meet in the middle of a good place.
Maybe put some on his fingertips and he can like rub the MDMA. like they're made of biltong, like a sort of marinade
earlobes. Yeah. I mean, you are a tactile person, Tom, and I think you've certainly sort of strayed into that territory of unwanted affection, I think, when you've had a couple of drinks. Do you think that's fair to say? Certainly on myself and Clarkie. The headlock is a familiar
the
situation.
Headlock,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Yeah. I think there's a difference between a headlock and rubbing earlobes.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Think,
is,
you know, think like, rubbing earlobes is worse?
I think we're in different ballparks here, you know?
Yeah. And also, I enjoy it.
Oh, which the headlock? Of course, we all enjoy it.
Yeah, I love a parry
would
headlock.
Would you trade it for an earlobe rub?
Well, I'll say this with the headlock: it's normally, not always, but normally, it's a necessary. It's because if I want to be telling you stuff, which I do when I'm drunk, and we're at a music festival or in a club, then it's like, come here,
yeah,
and then you can really, then I can really. Shout into your ear for half an hour.
Tom talks out of his armpits when he's drunk.
Purchase.
You know, like that's where it comes from.
He shouts
from.
My earlobes off.
Because I've been around people who get like rubby drunk.
Yeah,
that's, for me, that always needs a bit of an intervention. I mean, it's like handsy drunk is different, I think.
Yeah.
That's, yes, I think it yes. feels like we're in handsy yeah, drunk yeah. territory.
So what... Rubby is handsy, is the same as handsy. I think
rubby is the same as handsy, yeah.
Okay.
Have you met rubby and handsy? Oh, great. They're great fun on a night out, but it does always
after
get to
three
a point
drinks,
where...
I'd leave if I were you, yeah.
Rubby and handsy. They're great local radio DJs, aren't they?
Rubby and handsy in the afternoons. the other question is, which Craig obviously is not here to answer, but is there anything between the two of you? You know, is this a best friend situation where you're best friends,
Brett,
but actually
more.
Brett might hold a little bit of a flame for you, and so when he's had a few drinks, he gets a bit emboldened and, you know, wants to take it a bit further. I mean, I don't know. It's just a.
Have you ever tried rubbing his earlobes back? See what happens.
Yeah.
I like it. Mutual lobing.
Yeah.
Give it a mutual lobing. I mean, you... Yeah.
This is giving me an absolute...
Mutual lobing's my favourite Marvin Gaye song.
So what are we... What are we saying, though? I mean, we've got to sort of give him some sort of advice here. That's very much the sort of format of the show.
Yeah, I think if this is a long shot, but if Parry could be there every time, he could just rub Parry's belly instead of.
Oh, you think like have a decoy? There. You know, you think this earlobe is soft? Check out this belly.
maybe fake ears. Maybe like, you know, like those Halloween, like he could put on some sort of elfish ears. As like a diversion.
Yes, or you can make a mould of your ears, like, you know, those companies where you can make a mould of certain body parts. Give him that.
And you can have it as like a pendant. Like,
what about the...
And you can reach for it when he's...
What about the mouse that grew the ear on... You know, they grew an ear on a mouse's back. Do you remember? Why don't you just grow an ear on a part of your body you don't mind him touching?
Graft your ear onto a mouse.
Just give it as a pet.
That's beef salt. Yeah.
Good luck trying to catch it. What about flesh tunnels?
Oh, yeah.
What about he gets himself a couple of flesh tunnels?
Get some
and
stretches
then not really
in your ears.
Gonna be much. There's not going to be much lobe for you to rub, is there?
Oh, yeah.
Also, they stink, so that'll really put him off.
Have you had nasty experiences with flesh tunnels, Clarkie?
I had a whole conversation about one the other about them the other day, and someone was like, "Yeah, they just really
why
smell.
Do they smell? Like,
you have to wash them all the time, but they still really reek.
Really,
yeah, awful." And it reminded me of, remember one time we did a gig where the compere got someone out of the audience, and he had flesh tunnels. He put his finger through.
Yeah, it was Chris Ramsey.
Made him.
And his thing. It was Chris Ramsey was comparing. Ramsey. Yeah, yeah. It was Ramsey was comparing. And he's. But also, Ramsey is like extremely germophobic. He's like got a real thing about like being unclean and stuff. And for some reason, as a bit of comparing stuff, he sort of did it knowing it would be fun in the room. But afterwards, he looked like he had PTSD. He looked shell shocked.
Yeah.
From sticking his finger through someone's
really?
Flesh tunnel. Yeah.
And he had trouble carrying on, and he was like retching.
Why do they stink? You'd think the absence of flesh would it's just air.
I think it's the flesh bit that stinks rather than the air around it.
Yeah, right. Well, just in the plastic bit is stinky, I guess, is it?
I think the thing is with flesh tunnels, you have to have a fan on them all the time.
Yeah. Very bad for the environment.
You're thinking of wind tunnels there. Concrete.
No, when you're testing the design of a new car in your ears.
Yeah, you're mixing your tunnels. Yeah. You're mixing your tunnels, I'm afraid.
So, okay, so we've got fake ear. That's one potential...
Fake ear.
Yeah, I think
graft your ear onto that.
Let's not forget that he has asked him. The nature of his beef is, how can I tell him to stop? That's the one. Rather than how can I get him to rub other things?
Just tell him stop.
Is there a polite way of telling your friend I don't like to be touched? I mean, surely there has to be, right?
Okay. How about this? How about if you pretend that someone else gets a bit too touchy? And you confide with him about that and be like, oh, I just don't like it. I've got a friend at work or whatever. He's just a bit too
nostrils.
Touchy. And I really like him, but it just makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm not a touchy-feely person at all.
It would just be so obvious, give him an indication.
Hang on. Your advice is to describe the exact problem back to this guy, but say it's a friend at work. Clarkie, this is...
Yeah.
That's not strong.
And he touches my earlobes, and he's called Brett. And I really like the guy.
Darling, there's this new woman at work, and she at night she goes around and she unplugs my built-on. Honestly, it's so frustrating. Anyway, I love you, darling. Good night.
All of the beef's salt. We've done one fell sweep.
Maybe you should tell him that he's like you've read an article about how
a friend at work.
Yeah,
I've read an article about this COVID-19.
There's COVID-19 and it's spread through earlobe touching. Or like, have you heard, like, the alt-right, like, all the Trumpists in America now, they, like, touch each other's earlobes to show that they're white supremacists. And
but surely you're just moving them around the body, though, aren't you? Then you're just... He'll go, all right, I'll stop touching your earlobes. I'll start tweaking your nipples. It's like, you know, there has to be an easier way to say...
How about you buy him mittens? Buy him mittens.
Cut his hands off.
Well,
cut his hands off.
Two solutions from the same place, but very different outcomes.
No, the same outcome. No more rubbing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no more hands in one case. So slightly different. But okay, well, we've given you plenty of options. Grow an ear on
none of them.
Grow an ear on a mouse's back. Wear fake ears. Chop your hands off or buy mittens. I don't know if any of them are any good, but. There's four of them, so pick your favourite one and beef solved.
Good luck.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So this next one is from Joe, and it is Sandy Windowpane beef from Joe. And he's spelt pain, P-A-I-N. So you can imagine what's going on here. Dear Beef Brothers, I have a window-based beef with my wife at the moment. We live in a fourth-floor flat, and the recent sandstorm left our windows covered in muck. Now the weather is looking brighter, I gaze out to see the beautiful spring days, but am met with weeks-old dust, and my heart sinks. Did anyone else get caught in the Saharan dust storm?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, very orange couple of days.
Yeah, it was mad, wasn't it? Just a really bizarre orange sky.
Yeah, it was like we were in Blade Runner.
And then the car was just covered in sand. It was just a really odd thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't think it hit the southwest.
Did it not make it as far as you guys?
No, which I'm afraid to break it to you guys, but it It was Woolacombe Sand. It was us. It was we didn't want to cause a regional thing, so we just told you all it was Sahara, and you all got very excited
about
it. We
got very excited.
It seemed like
I'm
too far.
Have to wash my car now.
I was like, yeah. So you can't have come all the way from the Sahara.
No, exactly. It was us. So it was like it was Exmouth Beach and Woolacombe, but we just thought we just keep it quiet when that happens.
Your Biltong fan just accidentally got blown off course and into the sand pit.
Anyway, yeah, Sahara. I mean, like, it is exciting to have Saharan sand on your car, isn't it?
Yeah,
really
that's
exciting.
It.
Now, but our friend Joe continues. I suggested to my wife that as I don't know when the window cleaner is coming back. What? I could try to clean them myself. What's happened to this window cleaner, Joe? What did you do to him last time that means he's never coming back?
He's on an expedition in the Sahara. Looking for windows. Took him.
Yeah, various body parts have blown back over the house.
I could try to clean them myself. Right, as I don't know when the window cleaner's coming back, I'm trying to clean myself. Haven't really worked this out, but it almost certainly involves hanging out of a window, waving our mop at the windows and not looking down. My wife seems to think this might be dangerous in some way, that we should just wait until we're back from holiday in a week's time and hope they've been cleaned. I think this is a much too passive a strategy. Please, pappies, help. Love, Joe. Right.
Joe, don't try and clean your windows with a mop.
I don't think in good conscience we can say, go for it. It's a fourth floor flat. Lean out your window with a mop and see what you can do.
I don't know. Do you remember that beef we had in, guys, pappies, can you help me? I've got terrible TV reception. I'm kind of working with my puppet. Have you got any advice? I mean, that didn't go badly, did it?
We never heard back from him, but no, I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah, after he fell out the window.
Sure.
I like this guy's cut and thrust, though.
Yes.
Right? I like his attitude.
Yeah.
This, like, far too passive stuff. I don't want him to lose that. And so my compromise is, because I think what this guy's got is, like, a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
And a real spirit, blitz spirit. And I think, like, we want to keep that. But I don't think we want to advise him to lean out his window 4 floors up. So my advice is go and ask your neighbours if you can borrow their washing line props, you know, like your bits of wood, and lash 3 or 4 of them together.
Yes.
And then lash the mop on top and then do some really fun long-distance window cleaning from the ground.
From the ground.
Rather than going up high yourself.
Yeah.
You'll still have the fun, the can-do spirit. You'll have given it a good go. People will stop and watch you.
Definitely. Yeah.
So make yourself
you're not
telescopic.
You're not a risk of falling from a great height.
I mean, it.
I think you should graft a mop onto the back of a mouse and send it up the drain.
Another
good suggestion.
I've got another good idea for you. Drones. It's the 21st century.
Yes.
Tie a duster to a drone with some kind of mechanism. Borrow a drone. Everyone's got a mate with a drone, right?
I have.
There you go. Barry has.
There you go.
Crosby has.
No, don't mean to brag.
Clarkie?
No, I don't actually. But
you haven't got a mate with a drone?
Not that I know of.
Stuart Laws has got a drone.
Does he? Oh,
yeah,
of course he has.
Stuart Laws has got a goddamn drone.
He's
of course
got a
he has.
Drone.
I haven't got a mate with a drone. Yeah, that's right, Laws.
Laying down the laws.
Yeah.
Wait, we got a new beef coming.
Drone beef.
It's from Stuart Laws.
So get a drone with some kind of mop thing and have a lot of fun.
That's genius.
I love that.
But only do all of these, like, basically whatever tactic you're going to go for, your feet have to be on the ground outside.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a final one for you. Water bombs.
Oh, yes.
Get a shitload of water bombs, stand outside and have an hour of fun trying to hit
your window.
Hey, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking you get your neighbours, right, and you say, we're having a post-Saharan sandstorm fun day. Right, so all the kind of, you know, like the kind of like Splat the Rat and all that kind of stuff, and the duck install, all that sort of thing. You could get like catapults, fill them with soapy sponges, fire them at the building. Yes. Right, try and hit. The idea is you've got to try and hit your own window, and then you super soaker them off. It sounds like a really fun day.
And then to dry it afterwards, water balloon filled with talcum powder.
Water balloon filled with air.
Saharan talcum powder.
It's good. If only there was a name for those.
One of the best drinks I ever went for in my time in London, I was in a beer garden in Clapham, in quite a residential area. And suddenly someone just went, whoa! And then someone else on the other side of the beer garden went, whoa! And there were kids on the top of the flats looking out over the beer garden with water bombs.
Love it.
And they were just water ballooning at random the beer garden. It brought such a frisson of excitement and fun to the whole proceedings.
And people were angry.
Everyone was trying to carry on their conversations and kind of trying to carry on having a chat. But every so often,
it's like
someone got.
It's like live battleships. That's so much fun. Yeah.
That's spirit of the Blitz, isn't it?
It was fucking brilliant.
That's great.
It was at that pub we used to gig at around the corner from Clapham North.
Oh, yes.
You know, it had like a walled beer garden.
The Landor.
It was in the Landor beer garden. Block of flats opposite. Off they go.
That's class.
Amazing.
Beef solved.
Yeah, amazing scenes.
Keep your feet firmly on the ground. Great advice for life. Keep your feet firmly on the ground, but be looking up at the fourth floor.
Yes.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Jack, do you have a beef with your current living arrangement that you want to you want us to solve in some way?
I guess he's not really my housemate, but he's my cat.
Okay, we can do cats.
He's old. He's got cat AIDS.
Oh no.
And he's got diabetes.
Oh no.
And basically when we got him he was really overweight, and we sort of tried to get him to lose a bit of weight because they were like, if he doesn't lose weight he's going to get diabetes. But then he got diabetes anyway. And so now it's like you've got to put him on a diet so that he loses weight and he doesn't die of diabetes, but he hates the diet. And basically he's like the most cantankerous prick ever. And he'll just follow you around the house, like yelling at you. He sits outside our bedroom door in the morning, yelling at us. And it's like a weird sort of, it's a weird choice. Cause obviously your responsibility as a cat owner, I think, is to keep your cat happy and healthy, but it feels like the two are actually mutually exclusive. And I don't quite know what to do. He's not happy, but he's a bit healthier.
How many calories in biltong?
Well, if he had some biltong to chew on, that'd be ideal, really, because it would keep him occupied.
Beef solved. Put some biltong in a water balloon. Lob it at your cats.
So what can you put him on an exercise regime?
No, he won't do that. He doesn't move off our sofa. He sits on the sofa. He's very old. He's like 13. He's an old cat.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do anything. All he wants to do is eat. But if he does, it will kill him. So do I let him die, or do I starve him and keep his miserable life going a little bit longer?
It's tricky. Yeah.
What's the comparative age? What is 13?
He's like in his like 60, I think. He's like a bloke in his 60s.
Okay,
he's
so not that, you know.
He's not that old.
Not that old.
No.
So not, it's not
no.
like
oh, oh, just, oh sorry. I was thinking, oh, that's his time then.
Harry's hoping
thinking,
for
well,
another
good life.
Another 19 years, then he's going to clock off. Good night.
You want to do 60 strong years rather than 80 piss weak years. That's what I always think.
Yeah.
Like if you get to 80, you haven't had a good enough time, have you? That's what I always think.
No, maybe. Well, you should have burnt out by then.
I think you might.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Pathetic. I see an 8-year-old and I think, pathetic. What's the point? Oh, yeah, tricky.
He's got an STD, so I guess he's had a pretty good life. He must have been having. He's like Magic Johnson.
He's had sex at least once. Yeah.
Yeah, he got it in an orgy, I think.
Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, is that the answer then? Do you get him like a? Do you get him like a life? You know, like what do you call them? Like a doll, a living doll, but of a cat.
What, for him to fuck?
Because it's exercise and it's something, yeah, you know. And you actually, so you get a little sort of rubber fuckable cat.
Oh, but I should have said he is castrated as well. So
you get him a strap on. you get him the full, you know. But like,
Jack, we should say Crosby gives this advice at least once. he's desperate for this to happen. I've just got so many of them
dried out in my basement. Yeah. I've had the fan on them for absolutely months. They're tiny. They're shriveled up.
Dildon.
It puts the strap on its skin.
Wowie.
I'm sorry.
Grim,
I feel like...
actually.
Are I feel like this is quite a sad one.
Technically,
I didn't mean it to be this sad.
Yeah, is it like send your cat to Dignitas kind of thing?
I don't know. No, I think he would be happy if he just would, if he could eat.
Well, I mean, you're basically what you're trying to say to us is, well, you want us to say, let him eat himself to death.
Yeah.
Well, in which case, listen, if that's what you want, then
no, I don't know. I don't know if that is what I want.
I think that's what this cat wants. I think
listen,
it's
I'm not Kurt Zuma.
No, you don't kick him. Give him a really big steak or something.
Yeah.
Just let him go.
And then chuck him in the canal.
No, we can't. Honestly, because people do genuinely get very upset even when you joke about these non-existent cats being hurt.
He exists and he's not being hurt.
No, exactly. You take very good care of him. That's why you're so worried about his predicament. What's the cat's name, by the way?
He's called Gandalf.
Gandalf, oh, of course. Yeah. Wise old Gandalf.
What if you build a kind of gentle cat gym? And in the house, so he's kind of gets a new lease of life. He gets new interesting things. It's like a little bit of a treadmill. It's like a little bit of an assault course. But it's a bit like when, you know, it's like a walking football type situation. Nothing too extreme.
Yeah.
Like a Pilates class maybe or something.
Yeah, and that way then he might get a new lease of life and find himself going, and then actually it might be... There might be
build
something
up put his food at the end of a travelator.
Yeah. And yeah, then, that's good. That's not a bad idea.
And then also sell it as a TV show. I'd watch cats do an assault course.
Cat gladiators. Yeah.
That's absolutely what you should do. You've got to make him work for the food.
I've got to monetize him.
Well, you don't have to monetize. Yeah, yeah. If you also want to monetize it as well, that's great. But that's exactly the solution.
Matthew with his cat fuck dolls will tell you you've got to monetize.
Got to try and make a pretty penny. But yeah, you make him work for the food. Build a sort of like, you know, Rube Goldberg device in your house, like a Wallace and Gromit type thing, that he has to do a number of different things in order to get the food, you know, off the top of a high ladder. It's a great idea.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I'll try it. I've been saying for ages that he doesn't pay his way in the house, so it'd be good to see him do some sort of work.
It's entertainment for you as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd love to watch Cat. Yeah, maybe I'll get another one. I'll get like a rival.
Well, that's the other thing as well.
So you can compete.
You could get another slightly more aggressive cat and make them fight for the food. But I think, yeah.
It sounds gentler.
Yeah. Maybe an assault course is the best way to start things off, yeah.
That's what all sport is really, isn't it? It's just like organised fighting. So like, we don't have to fight each other. We'll play football instead. Yeah.
Well, beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef solved. Thanks, guys.
Jack, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I hope it was all right.
Yeah, it's been really good.
It's so nice to see you, buddy.
I know. I haven't seen you for ages.
Where can people see you? Are you gigging at the moment? Are you touring?
I am gigging. I'm getting a show ready to take it to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Woo, fantastic.
Back to Edinburgh. Yeah, so I'm previewing in London at the moment and I'll be at the Brighton Fringe to get ready for that. So if you check out my website, jackbarry.co.uk, you can find tickets. Or
What's
follow
the show
me
called,
on
Jack?
Instagram. The show is called Don't Happy, Be Worry.
Great.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Genuinely to come.
It's all about anxiety and that sort of thing. And yeah. I'm on Instagram at I am Jack Barry. I'll post about it all there. And please come and see me.
Lovely. Yeah, do follow Jack. He's a fantastic comic. If you've not seen him work, he's fantastic. He's really great. He is.
From the sorting out your beat.
There we go. Bish bash bosh. Another classic.
Another classic,
Beef Brothers,
Tom.
Cold Cuts. Yeah, it was good. It was
and
really good.
Speaking of classics,
yes,
we've had a classic email in from a guy called Ben. And I think I'm going to let you read it, if you don't mind a cold read, because...
I love a cold read.
Honestly, nothing has sparked the interest of the listenership more than Drops of Jupiter. Your reference to Drops of Jupiter. Another message. Brilliant. And it's not the... Like, we got in one from a guy who says, please keep me anonymous, but I've just listened to Drops of Jupiter, and it's a bop. So people are... You're introducing Drops of Jupiter to a new generation. I presume... That fellow's from a new generation because he's used the phrase
not
a bop.
Yeah. Someone's not prepared to put their name to it, though.
Oh, no.
How I discovered Drops of Jupiter from Ben via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Hi, Tom, Matthew, Emma and Ben. In the early 2000s, I was a teenager who had recently been allowed a PC in my bedroom that had broadband internet access. Oof. As a newcomer to the internet, it didn't take me long to discover what it could offer. Forums and porn videos.
Yes.
One day, after waiting hours for a video to slowly download, I loaded it up and was ready to get to work halfway through. I had to stop as I couldn't concentrate on what the nice woman was doing. What is that song in the background? It was one of the best songs I'd ever heard, and I knew I just had to share this song with my friends. Skip forward 24 hours and sat in my friend's bedroom. I'm showing him the video. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I'm sure it went something like this. Isn't this song incredible? I guess. I wish I knew what it was. You could try to look up the lyrics to find out. How on earth would I do that? I'm not a hacker. You do know the internet isn't just forums and porn. I don't think my internet has anything else. My mum just pays for the basic package. Anyway.
Basic packages, forums and porn.
It's like that anyway, song, isn't it? The internet's forum porn.
He looked up the song for me, and after that I knew what I had to do. Go home, download as much porn as possible, and try to find the next big hit. It's a thankless task, but one I still do to this day.
What a hero.
Has anyone else discovered a song through porn? Cheers, everyone. Bye, Ben. P.S. Wow, I've just discovered Dark Red by Steve Lacy. The weekend is off to a good start.
Thank you, Ben.
Wowee. Well... Drops of Jupiter and Drops of something else from Ben.
Yeah.
Ooh la la. Well, listen, please, you don't have to take the X-rated option to enjoy the wonderful sounds of Drops of Jupiter by Train. Please enjoy Drops of Jupiter by Train responsibly. You know, there are other ways to enjoy it rather than from adult websites.
Yeah, I'd go on YouTube or Spotify or Tidal or one of those kind of places. Yeah, that would
Pornhub.
Be my first.
Fine.
Sure, before you go to Pornhub, I think maybe go to YouTube first. If you've got a message you'd like to send us, especially if you have a beef that you would like us to solve, Beef Brothers...
I thought you were going to say... Sorry, carry on.
Sorry. If it's a bad
I thought you were
going to
say, especially if you've just listened to Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Well, no. I can't stress enough. We may have to pull up the drawbridge on the Drops of Jupiter messages because they are still coming in.
No way.
Yes, keep them coming.
We've got to fill the moat with all those drops.
So if you've got a message, a beef you'd like us to solve, we need more beefs, we always do, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, pappysflatshare@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with anything else at all, including information, go on, about Drops of Jupiter, or if you've ever discovered a song through a bit of grumble, why not get in touch with us about that. By the way, I listened to Dark Red by Steve Lacy. It's a bop.
It's really good. Matthew, does it slap?
I think it's fire. I think it's lit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It absolutely slaps. Anyway, right. I'm off to check the portrait in my attic. We'll be back next week with, I think, a Flatshare slam down. But until then, see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Cheers, guys. I'm going to run off if that's cool.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, everyone.
Ben's gonna run off. Bye. Now. Bye.
I love that. Clarky. All right, I'm off, everybody.
Clarky's doing his own personal sign-off these days. Bong. Please be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Bong. It's the 2 o'clock news. Bong.
Terrible news. It's Armageddon. I didn't start it. It was Lee Wolfenden. Bong.
Terrible news. Oh, God. I've lost it. I've lost it early doors, Parry. Okay. Terrible news. Someone's been hit in the eye. I'm afraid to say.
Really?
Yeah. After all of that. I'll tell you what it was. It's that I feel like I was going to do a rhyme from the last one, but I thought we can't just do a one from the last one that's the exact same one. But it's going to have to be someone's been hit in the eye. Terrible news. Someone's been hit in the eye. And the bad news is, it's Justin Chisnell.
Bong. The bad news gets even worse.
The bad news
gets even worse because let me tell you something. He really did get hit in the eye, son. And we've found out who did it. He was hit in the eye by Dean Bryson.
Yes. Well, you
terrible
know,
news.
Do you know what? Also, well, the sad news is Dean Bryson, Bong, was hit in the eye as well. And he was hit in the eye by me and my dear friend, Naomi.
Well, it turns out that Armageddon involves a lot of people being hit in the eye.
it's bad. Better wear shades, guys. The future's so dark, you better wear shades.
Well, let me tell you something. It's certainly looking like it's time for the weather with Daryl Webster.
Okay.
Yes. Bong.
Bong. Thank you, Daryl. Yes, this is me, Daryl Webster, with the weather. As I see it, it's going to be dry on land, wet on sea. Now, with more news, here's David Ogilvy.
Well, hello, I'm David Ogilvy, and I'm here to tell you that with news, I am a-brimming. But I'm not going to tell you the important story of the day. I'm going to leave that to Laura Simmons.
Well, hi, it's me, Laura Simmons, your roving reporter out on the field. And let me tell you, I can't report any more news because, sadly, I've been infected with rabies. So I'll hand over to my co-anchor, Tom Davies.
Well, Bong, breaking
bong.
News that the first sign that you've got rabies is that you get hit in the eye.
Oh, God.
It's all very vulgar. There goes mine. I'm going to have to hand over to Sarah Bulger.
Oh.
Sarah Bulger!
Sarah Bulger. Sarah Bulger reporting in place of Tom Davis, who is covering for Laura Simmons, of course. Well, Sarah Bulger here. And let me just tell you now that I have been hit not only in the eye, not only in the knee, but I've also been hit.
The knee.
Yeah, also the eye. I've also been hit in the eye, the knee, and the giblets. And unfortunately, that means I'm going to have to hand over to Connor Griffiths.
Connor Griffiths here, and let me tell you, you're in safe hands because several times I've won the award for best newsreader. That's right, I'm achieving. I've done a lot better than the person who has sadly
go on. No, we can't have any of our patrons passing away in a roll call, Parry.
We can't. We need them. We need
we
them
can't.
But let me finish the story.
Oh, go on.
They came back from the dead. It's AJ Beaven. Still with us.
A modern day Lazarus. Dig yourself back in that hole, AJ Beaven. Dig yourself back in that hole. That nearly concludes, because I skipped one earlier on. Concludes the Patreon neighborhood watch roll call, as far as the eye can see, were it not for the final name, which of course, Marianne Levy.
And that concludes today's Patreon neighborhood watch roll call. Bong.
Bong. Bong. Yeah. Really bad stuff from both of us there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.